This episode is brought to you by the members of the American Homebrewers Association, who invite you to celebrate Learn to Homebrew Day this Saturday, November 2nd. To find a Learn to Homebrew Day event near you, visit homebrewersassociation.org and click events. That's homebrewersassociation.org and click events. Welcome to Basic Brewing Radio for Thursday, October 31st, 2019. I'm James Spencer. Here at Basic Brewing Radio, we're all about home brewing. This week, it's our hop sampler number 13. We compare spooky northern brewer against ghoulish Chinook and eerie warrior. Ha, 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 ha. If you go to basicbrewing.com, you can find archives of our audio and video shows. If you go to basicbrewingshop.com, you can find our DVDs, our brewer's logbooks, and other Basic Brewing gear. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Basic Brewing and find our show page on Facebook as well. We have a cool Basic Brewing app on iTunes and Amazon.com, and we're found all over the place where fine podcasts are served up. If you want to support us financially, check out patreon.com/basicbrewing, and thanks to everybody who's helping out. If you go to patreon.com/basicbrewing, you can see a long list of stuff that you can access if you sign up as a supporter. Supporters have already seen the video episode I'm planning to release to the general public tomorrow on my extract bourbon stout, or maybe it's a bourbon stout, since it's on Halloween. It's a very tasty beer. Hey, there's good news from our friends and sponsors at Imperial Organic Yeast. Imperial has announced that they're increasing the shelf life on their homebrew pitches to 4 months from the manufacture date. That will allow us homebrewers to use those handy packets of Imperial yeast for an additional month without worrying about viability, yeast health, or making a starter. Imperial says this is the result of an extensive long-term viability study that showed the impact on viability of Imperial yeast to be negligible at 4 months. Same consistent high-quality Imperial yeast, now with a longer recommended shelf life. And I've got some personal experience along those lines. I had a packet of Imperial B48 Triple Double Belgian yeast that was 5 months old. And I did make just a 1-liter starter to wake it up at 5 months. And it plowed through a 1071 Belgian dark without breaking a sweat. In fact, the fermentation was very vigorous, and the beer is delicious. And with other liquid yeasts that I've used in the past, I would have made a 2-liter starter with a fresh packet of yeast. But Imperial is awesome. 200 billion cells in those handy packets, and now an extended shelf life from Imperial Organic Yeast. Let's jump into the virtual mailbag. This wasn't a letter, per se. It was a comment on our Brett Golden Ale update video that I posted recently on YouTube. A YouTube viewer, Michael, asks, "Hey, gents, quick thought. I thought that Suburban Brett was a Brettois strain of sac, or Saccharomyces, not a true Brettanomyces." Well, I don't know anything about that myself, but I forwarded the question to Casey at Imperial, and she replied, "The W15 Suburban Brett is not the Brettois strain at all. In fact, it is in fact part of the Brett Brux family and 100% true Brettanomyces. However, Casey says, we have observed, not validated, that it may produce enzymes that are better at breaking down maltose and maltotriose, which sort of explains why it works much faster and is better suited for all Brett fermentations than other strains." So there you go, clearing that up. Good info from Casey. I can tell you that golden ale that I brewed that had Suburban Brett at bottling does have Brett character, especially after 6 months in the bottle. And I've squirreled away most of those bottles in the basement, and I'm saving them to age over time. And Steve said that beer was his favorite of any of my homebrews. So he's had a lot of my beers, and it is a good one. Last night I sampled my cider that I made with organic apple juice from Whole Foods, and Bubbles yeast from Imperial. I didn't mean for this to sound like an extended commercial, but, you know, I'm just, it's what I've been doing. That cider is delicious. I did half and half. I did just the straight cider with nothing added. And on the second half, I dosed that second half with cheap cinnamon whiskey that I found at the local liquor store here in town. I was looking for cinnamon extract, and I couldn't find any at any of the grocery stores and such. But that second half with the cinnamon whiskey is delicious as well. I didn't go overboard, so it doesn't taste like, you know, cheap whiskey. I added the whiskey at bottling time and sampled, you know, as I was adding it, and it just adds a little bit of cinnamon spice without being too overpowering, so I'm excited about that. And my newest beer went into the fermenter yesterday. It's a revival of my 15-minute extract saison that I brewed a while back. Super simple, just Vienna and Bavarian wheat liquid malt extract with golden candy syrup. I hopped at the beginning of that 15-minute boil with German Mandarina Bavaria, a couple ounces or 56 grams of that, and pitched with Imperial B58 Rustic. Now, this beer was way good as it is back when I brewed it earlier, but I'm planning to dry hop this batch with a bunch of leftover hops from the hop sampler series. You know, I've got all these little partial packets of hops in the freezer and such, and so it'll be a delicious. Will it be a delicious fruit saison? You know, a fruity salad tasting saison, or will it be a muddy mess with all those different hops from all those different varieties? So I'm looking forward to finding out. Hey, I'm releasing this episode on October 30th, so there's still about a day and a half to take advantage of free shipping on beer and wine ingredient kits from our friends and sponsors Desiree and Dave from High Gravity in Tulsa. At highgravitybrew.com, they have a ton of beer and wine kits from a wide variety of styles and tastes. And until the end of October, you gotta act quick. Get on your computer now. Until the end of October, you can get free shipping on beer and wine ingredient kits at highgravitybrew.com. I know this is last minute, but sometimes that's the way that I work. I procrastinate until the deadline comes right up, and then I go, oh, okay, I got to, you know, pay that bill or pay those taxes or renew those tags or whatever. But anyway, if you did miss it, if it is November when you're listening to this, you can still go to highgravitybrew.com and check out the wide selection of electric brewing controllers and systems that they have there. High Gravity's been building electric systems for more than a decade, and they know what they're doing. I have a single vessel Brunabag Warthog set up myself, and I love it. You know I do, especially when it's cold outside and I'm maintaining a rock-steady mash rest temperature. I couldn't do that with my old propane and Rubbermaid cooler setup. Check it all out at highgravitybrew.com, and if you use the code EBC75BB, you can save $75 off your electric brewing purchase. Family-owned and operated, highgravitybrew.com. Okay, let's go taste a hop sampler. A spooky hop sampler. With Steve Wilkes.
Ooh, Steve Wilkes, welcome to Basic Brewing Radio. Ooh.
I can't do voices. I try, but they always come out like a bad John Wayne. It doesn't matter what I do.
Ethel Merman, go.
Well, Pilgrim. See, I told you.
Spot on.
Yeah, I know. So, it just doesn't work for me.
This is our 13th hop sampler, and I didn't plan this, I swear. And I think that this episode is the Halloween episode of Basic Brewing Radio. So, you know, you can't. I couldn't plan that.
No, nobody could plan that.
So this is going to be a scary one. Well, yeah. John Carpenter theme, yeah. In the back. Or ch-ch-ch-ch. It's going to be scary. We're doing the... Okay, so this is the hop sampler, for those who, yep, who haven't listened before. This is where we take little one-gallon batches of beer, and we brew them. And then we put single hops in each of them, and then we taste them. But the recipe goes like this. You take 3 quarts of water, you put 1 pound or 450 grams of malt extract in there. You'd bring it just up to the boil, just so it starts bubbling. You shut off the heat, and then you put in the prescribed amount of the hop, and you set it aside on the burner, or off the burner, for 30 minutes, and then you chill it in an ice bath, and then you pour it into a 1 gallon jug as a fermenter, and you add 3 grams of US05 yeast in there. After fermentation, you bottle them into 12-ounce bottles. You put a carbonation drop into each bottle, and then you write on top which one is which. But then for this, we put some duct tape over the bottle caps, so we don't know what's what. And we've got 3 cups in front of us, so that we are tasting these beers blind. And we're just going to try to figure out. We've got the descriptors of the hops that we've printed off from the website hopslist.com. We've stolen. They don't know we're doing this, but one would think they'd be happy to have their website mentioned. So these descriptors, we're gonna taste the beers, each beers. We're going to talk about what we taste. We're going to read the descriptors randomly. And then at the end, we'll try to match them up. Now, last time we got them all correct.
We did, actually. That was the first time I think we've ever done that.
Yeah. And last time, it was interesting because all 3 beers tasted differently, and all 3 descriptors accurately described the tastes that we were tasting.
Yep, they sure did. So this time, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, we've sipped all 3 of them. And
I haven't read the descriptors yet.
Oh, so. I did, and it's going to be tough.
It's going to be tough. Well, I would like to say that I do have cataracts, but I'm not blind, so the tasting's not completely blind. And no ducks were harmed in the taping of these beers.
Now, I haven't said what hops that we're gonna taste. And I waited. I looked at the alpha acid percentage on each of the varieties, and I weighted the weights of the hops in using the alpha acid percentage as a guide. So I used 1 ounce or 28 grams of Northern Brewer at 9.3% alpha acid, 20 grams of Chinook at 12.9% alpha acid, and 15.4 grams of Warrior, which is at 16.8% alpha acid. So I think that the bitterness matches pretty good in all these.
They really do, and that was the thing that I wondered about that, because they're pretty darn similar. Mm-hmm. Spoiler alert.
And that's our show.
That's it. We're done.
So, yeah, this is going to be a tough one. This is not like last one where it was a lot easier.
Yeah, last time it was really clear. Mm-hmm. You know, this time, although, I mean, I guess we could just dive right in, but they are different. Hmm. I mean, I can tell a distinct difference between each one, but I could apply the same descriptor in a way to each one.
Yeah, yeah, they do taste different, but they are kind of they're, it's not like last time where it's like that tastes like banana, you know?
Right. Yeah.
these taste like they're from the same family, and I guess we may read in the descriptors whether or not. This is, and we just recorded 2 video episodes of Basic Brewing Video. So, one with our, both from the ingredients from Wyoming. One was the Wyoming Vienna Malt Kolsch, and the second one was the Bourbon Stout.
Yes.
Extract Bourbon Stout.
So the beer is in the cups, and so are we.
So. Sheets in the wind. All we are is sheets in the wind.
No, it's Wyoming, not Kansas.
Toto.
Toto. Okay, beer number one.
Beer number one. Do you want to venture out there first?
You know, it's actually a nice little smash beer. It'd be a nice little pale ale. It's kind of spicy. I get a little bit of kind of a black pepper finish in the end. You know, I don't know. There's not a whole lot to say about it. It's just got a nice kind of traditional hop flavor.
To me, it's citrus fruit, but it goes toward... It's not quite grapefruit to me. It's more along the Tangelo kind of thing. It's a milder... It's not quite orange,
yeah,
but it's kind of a Tangelo, kind of a sweeter citrus flavor.
But I also get a little bit of the of that bitter, you know, the white...
The pith?
Pith. Yeah, I didn't want to say that because I might have a lisp.
And there's pith in this beer.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's got a little bit of that kind of bitterness to me.
But not as much as like a grapefruit. Grapefruit, even if you just peel off all the skin and everything from the wedges of the grapefruit, you still get a kind of a pithy kind of bitterness from, in my opinion. Grapefruit needs a little bit of sugar if you're going to eat it for breakfast.
Yeah.
Before you pull a James Cagney and do something that's unspeakable.
That's right. But I agree with you, though. I agree that that's a little bit of the tangerine to Tangelo-ish kind of flavor. Yeah.
Where is it on the piney scale?
It's not like Asheville, North Carolina. It's not the piney woods of Texas. I'd give it more of a Mena, Arkansas. Kind of that scraggly, low Ozark, you know.
Tastes a little bit like Weyerhaeuser.
A little Weyerhaeuser. It's gonna be number 92 brightness white paper pretty soon. So it's not very piney.
No. But good.
Yeah, it's good.
This is a very drinkable beer.
Yeah, it really is.
Okay, so...
So, okay. In no particular order.
Yes.
Warrior. This is from hoplist.com.
Yeah, Hopslist. There's an S in it.
Yeah, Warrior. Developed by Select Botanicals Group, proprietary American hop Warrior is fast becoming a favorite, especially with U.S. craft breweries. Among its desirable traits are its clean, smooth bittering and a somewhat inconspicuous citrusy and spicy aroma. Its pedigree is an unknown to the public. Dogfish Head Brewery employs Warrior in many of its brews, most notably in its 60-minute IPA. So
clean citrus.
Clean and citrusy and a little bit spicy. Describes my aftershave.
I was going to say. Is that allspice? Or high karate?
Yeah, well, I don't know.
Well, that kind of describes what you know, I got the citrus and you got the peppery kind of thing going on from number one.
Well, that's what I was thinking.
It's the power of suggestion.
I know, that's the problem.
That's the danger. Okay.
Well, and I just made an IPA and I used Warrior as my bittering hop. And so that's kind of what I picked up in number one, but I'm not ready to call that Warrior yet because we haven't done the other two beers.
And you remember this is Warrior was the highest in alpha acid at 16.8%, and so it was the least amount of actual hop material put in there. But that doesn't always weigh out. You know, sometimes we get more hop character from the least amount of material, so it just doesn't, you know, we can't use that as an absolute guide.
So we've gone number one. Now let's go number two.
I've got a roll of paper towels around here somewhere. Now this one has a, if I can go first, it has a solid bitterness, but it has kind of a darker flavor to it. And I don't think that's a defect. It doesn't taste like a brewing defect. But there's a darker kind of fruit flavor there.
Yeah, there is. And I also think I think it's a little more complex, and I think there's a little sweet note on top mm-hmm. as well. It's a little bit, there's a little bit more flavor in this one from the hops, I think.
Yeah. It's something, I hate it when this happens, when you taste something, it's like, I know what that is, but I can't put my finger on it. But as soon as one of us identifies it, the other one's going to say, yep, that's right.
And I don't know.
But it's in the aroma as well. It's kind of a...
Yeah, and I thought this beer was had the most aromatics of the three, too, mm-hmm. by the way. But I still can't really identify them, so I'm sorry about that. I almost it's, get kind of a... I almost get also... this. It almost seems a little bit more bready. Now, I realize that's not a hop characteristic, but mm-hmm. the beer itself seems more bready to me mm-hmm. than the first beer. And I taste more of a rounded fruit note, and I taste more of you called it a dark note, and I call it kind of a ripe, almost yeah. an overripe fruit note.
Yeah, I was thinking almost like a mealy apple.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not like a green apple. It's not the traditional acetaldehyde. It's not that typical green apple character that you get from beer
right.
flaw, but it's more of a kind of a, it's like an apple skin kind of a thing almost.
Yeah. I'd bite on that. Mm. It's actually nice. Yeah. I think I prefer it to number one.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of a, number one is just like a solid pale ale.
Mm-hmm.
Flavor and aroma. This one is more. There's more going on.
Yeah,
there's more of an interesting fruit character going on that goes beyond just like, you know, your regular grapefruit. You know, kind of citrusy thing. It's like a fleshy fruit.
Yeah.
Character, which is I think is appealing. I think it's good.
Yeah, I just think it's a more interesting beer, and it's so interesting. Man, you know, I can just come up with words just like immediately.
Your lexicon is big.
I got syllables. I got lots of syllables.
I would describe your vocabulary as
multi
big.
But number one is a nice drinkable beer. But number two, if you have to make a smash beer, that's what's so cool about this is because learning how to make a smash beer isn't just grabbing a hop and a grain.
Yeah.
That they really do play off each other, and kind of that's part of the fun of this exercise is learning, you know, what things play off each other really well. Anyway, so
yeah, and the number two hop I think would go better with like, not a lot of caramel, but. A base grain that is of a higher level bond that brings a little more caramel to the party. So maybe like a caramel apple kind of a thing.
Well, yeah. So instead of a Pilsner malt, maybe if you just used even just like a Maris Otter or, you know, or Pale Ale or Golden Promise or something like that.
Yeah.
Or two row with a little bit of Munich in it.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Woohoo.
That's our theory.
We're sticking to it. Right. Okay.
Random hop descriptor number two.
Northern Brewer.
All right.
And Northern Brewer is a well-known dual-use hop developed by the Y College, developed at Y College, in 1934.
Mm.
Currently, it is being grown in several countries around the world. The original was a cross between East Kent Golding and a Brewer's Gold Male. Today it is grown mostly in Germany and the U.S. The Northern Brewer that I carry is from Germany.
Okay.
And I didn't know that. So it's really interesting. I didn't know its pedigree. I didn't realize it was a cross between East Kent Golding and Brewer's Gold originally. So that's cool. It's one of the most popular hops I grow, he said. Now back to the description, because I didn't realize there was a second paragraph. Northern Brewers use... is used majorly, that's what they wrote, is used primarily in European beers and ales, from lambics to porters and everything in between. It's also popular in California common style beers with its woody, piney, and minty essence.
Ooh. Huh. Woody, piney, and minty.
Yes. Huh. And they're playing down at Maxine's later tonight.
I thought they broke up.
Well, they did, but they got back together for their third album.
Huh. Woody, piney, and minty. And then the warrior was subtle citrus character.
Mm-hmm. Spicy.
Spicy.
Yeah.
Huh. Hmm. Interesting. Okay. Well, let's taste. I'm going to taste number three. Hmm. That's different yet.
Yeah, boy, they are.
Different yet and still.
They're different and pretty similar. Hmm.
Hmm. Boy, number three, the fruit character is much more on the front and on my palate.
Yep. And, yep, it is. And I'd still get, maybe it's just me, I just, all three of these beers, I get a strong kind of black pepper character in all three of these beers. Maybe it's just my taste buds tonight. I don't know.
This one seems more kind of piney to me.
Mm-hmm.
Fruity and piney. This is very, this is the strongest tasting of all three.
I agree with that.
Hop flavor-wise.
I agree with that, yeah. It's kind of the most West Coast tasting to me.
Uh-huh.
Which will mean nothing if you're in Europe listening to this.
Oh, I don't know.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, it's very hop assertive. And not in a, not in a New England kind of way, because, right, you know, that's more kind of fruity and the bitterness. This may be the most bitter of all three. I'm not sure. They're all three close on the bitterness scale.
They're pretty close on the bitterness scale. And I don't know. I don't know if my palate's starting to get kind of blown out. We've had quite a bit of beer. But this one is, I think this is the strongest flavored beer we've had tonight.
Yeah.
Of all of them, including the first two videos.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely. Yeah, because the first video we had the Wyoming Vienna Kolsch, mm-hmm, and that was just a solid, drinkable, malty beer.
Cool.
Really, really nice malt from the Wyoming Malting Company. Appreciate them sending that down. And then the second one, even though it had bourbon in it, it was pretty well balanced as far as the malt character and the bourbon character. I blended that so that it wouldn't be just smack you in the face bourbon. But still, you know, those are some different flavor components to be thrown into this mix as well, which is one of the reasons why judging doesn't appeal to me in competitions.
Oh, no,
because
kidding.
My palate, you know, I got a wimpy palate. It gets fatigued rather easily.
Yeah, that for sure. I don't know how people that, you know, are master judges for BJCP, I don't know how they can do it. I don't know how.
Yeah. I just judged around to 25 IPAs.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you did?
Really?
Wow.
Which level of Terminator are you?
No, that's the I'll be Bach category.
Yeah.
Happy Halloween, everybody.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
All
so,
right.
Let's read the last one.
Yeah, read the last one, and I'll sip while you... Okay. I'm going to revisit all
this
three.
This has been on fucking Wagnall's porch
Now,
since Halloween.
That was dangerously close to... I thought you were swearing.
Oh.
Funk and Wagnall's
Funk
porch.
Funk and Wagnall's porch. Halloween 1967.
In a sealed mayonnaise jar.
Yeah, that's right.
I get an email the other day from a guy who said, I love your Karnak references.
Oh, good.
And I responded by saying, may a crazed camel fall in love with your sister. Okay.
Okay. Enough of the Wayback Machine. Chinook hops are suitable for any stage of the boil. Yeah.
You didn't make a Lansing joke there.
No, I didn't. I just couldn't go there. I figured everybody would make their own. I just left a pause for everyone to make their own.
Yeah, your dad joke here.
Yeah. They're not only a natural for American-style pale ales and IPAs, but they also find their way into seasonal ales. Well, of course, barley wine and some porters and stouts. The variety is a cross between Petham Golding. I've never heard of Petham Golding.
No.
Petham.
Where's the word? Point.
P-T-H-A-M.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
Wow.
Or maybe Petham.
No, it's Petham.
Okay. We'll get the letter.
Yeah. And a USDA mail.
It's Harvey works in the third ship.
And features a pine-like spicy bouquet with robust flavors of grapefruit.
Oh.
That's Chinook. Released in 1985, Chinook has recently grown in popularity, particularly among craft breweries. Currently, they're commercially featured alone in Stone's Arrogant Bastard. Didn't know that.
Hmm.
And in addition to Cascade and Centennial in Sierra Nevada's Celebration Ale. I did know that. A brew famous for its piney, citrusy character.
Huh.
I'm actually a big fan of Chinook. I like Chinook a lot.
Huh.
So I hope that I don't get it wrong. Because I've used it quite a bit in my life.
Well, I'm
usually as a poultice.
And not as a salve.
Not as a salve.
Or an ointment.
Yeah.
Well, I'm in the position now where last time we guessed the beers as they were listed on the list and we got it right.
Yeah.
And it was like, is that power of suggestion or what? But number one seems to me to have a kind of subtle orange character.
Mm-hmm.
Number two has I don't know if it's woody or piney or minty, but it's like not super piney and citrusy, which is or grapefruity, which is more like the three to me, which is Chinook. So, I don't know. I'm thinking of just going down the list and saying number one is Warrior, number two is Northern Brewer, number three is Chinook.
That's what I was thinking, too. That's crazy. Could it be? Could lightning strike that way?
I don't know. I mean, I'm gonna go back and taste one more time, just for safety's sake.
Well, I'm with you, though. I mean, that's exactly what I thought, and that's what I thought when I tasted it the very first time, before they had a chance to warm up or anything. I was like, boom, 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 bada bing, bada boom.
Well, yeah. Number two is the most different.
Yeah, it is. It's kind of the softest of the three.
Yeah.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that I feel fairly strongly that number three is Chinook. Oh. I just think it is. And so now I have to decide which one's Warrior and which one's Northern Brewer if I'm confident that number three is Chinook.
I like number three the best. To me, it's I just like the bright character of the fruit and maybe there's a little bit of piney in there, but there is that spicy thing going on. To me, it's just like.
And see, I think I like number two the best.
Because
I like that soft fruit character that I'm getting out of it. Mm-hmm. Having said that, I probably wouldn't brew any of these beers as they are exactly. I would, I would almost for sure do a mix and match. Although the only time I've ever brewed a smash beer more than once is with Chinook.
Because
I really... actually really do like Chinook hops.
Or you could just take these beers and just add some crystal or
see,
something
the
in there to
yeah.
temper it a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. So it's not really a fair approximation of what the what the actual beer would be. That's it's really unfair to the hop in a way, to condemn it or to promote it, because the grain bill that you put with it is going to change. The water that you do with it is going to change. The mash that you do is going to change it. There's so many variables. So, well, that's it.
Yeah. Okay. And these were all just added doing, you know, hop stands.
Right.
So, again, this is the test, but it is the test, and so it is what it is.
Yeah, it is what it is.
All right. So are we ready for the unveiling? We're locked in, and we're on the same page.
I think so.
All right. I mean, there's one, two, and three.
Yeesh. Right. I can't believe this could happen twice in a row.
No, I did. What's it say?
No, we're dead wrong.
just on the first one. What's it say?
Number one, Chinook.
Oh. Ooh. Huh.
Wow.
Well.
Okay, well, there you go.
Huh. Number one is Chinook.
Wow. Wow.
Huh.
I am shocked. And...
Huh.
I should bury my head in sand. Number two is Warrior.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm completely out.
Wow.
So we know that number three is Northern Brewer.
That is wild.
Completely out.
Now, okay. Now, skeptics will say, well, number three, you added a full ounce of, of Northern Brewer.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's going to taste more like hops.
Wow. I'm completely stunned.
Now, but in the past, we've, you know, used the little, you know, adjustment scale.
Yeah.
You know, using alpha acids as the measurement to kind of get a balanced, you know, addition of these.
Yeah.
And it's come out with kind of almost random results, you know.
Right.
So, you know, I'm not sure that adding more hop material would give that more, you know, that much more hop flavor if the, you know, because Northern Brewer is like 9.3%. Warrior is 16.8%.
Yeah.
So.
Well, what I found interesting, I guess, I don't know, maybe the lesson that I'm going to take away from this isn't that I don't like Chinook. My least favorite of the three beers tonight was the Chinook beer. My most favorite was the Warrior beer. I'm only going to say that my lesson that I'm going to take away from this is to explore Warrior a little bit more. Mm. So I used it, and the only time I've ever brewed with it was the last IPA I made, but I used it as a bittering hop. Mm. So now I'm going to maybe, you know, I don't know that I will, but maybe the next time I brew a beer that lends itself toward a late hop addition, maybe I'll play with some Warrior and see what I think, because I really do like what it brought to the beer, and I really like that kind of soft. It brought a kind of a round, kind of a overripe fruit flavor that I really liked.
And that's one thing, is that there wasn't just more flavor in each of the, you know, in one of the others. It was different.
They were different. Yeah.
So you know, if we had added a full ounce of the Warrior.
Oh, well, it wouldn't have been drinkable.
Well, it would have been too bitter, probably. Yeah. But it wouldn't have. You would have gotten. I would think that you'd get more of that apple character, or that you know, that fruit character.
Right.
That it wouldn't have changed the character of the hop.
Right. It almost makes me want to dry hop with it, because I really like.
Yeah.
I really like the flavor of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really surprised that I couldn't. That I confused Chinook and Northern Brewer. I'm really surprised about that.
Yeah.
But I did, so there you go.
Well, we went from all right to all wrong.
Well, so, but that, we're like Seinfeld. Everything works out. Remember that? Remember that episode?
Out. It evens out. He threw a $20 out the window, and he found one in his pocket.
Yeah, that's right.
But one would think that he had that 20 in his pocket the whole time, and he just lost the 20 by throwing it at it.
Yeah, whatever.
It's Seinfeld logic.
Yeah. Well, number three is very nice beer, though.
Yeah.
Well, they're all pretty darn good. This was a good experiment.
Yeah. And what a way to spend Halloween in the past. No, fall is finally here in Northwest Arkansas, and you know we've had 2 days of fall, and then like night after, you know, 2 days from now it's going to be like 29 degrees.
Oh my God!
So you know, enjoy. Did you enjoy the elongated summer and then the 2 days of fall before the winter?
Well, yeah, it was.
But the point is, it's brewing season, so get out there and visit your local homebrew shop, including stevesbrewshop.com.
Yeah.
And check it out. Steve's got a wonderful website. Lots of great kits out there. And, you know, show your love for your pal Steve.
Well, you know, we've got a... Actually, you know, the store's all right, you know? And it's just time to brew some beer.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
I turned back to my roots when I've had a couple of beers. All right, Steve.
All right, James.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Well, thanks again to Steve Wilkes of stevesbrewshop.com. The next sampler that's in the bottle already will be Lemon Drop, Bravo, and Columbus. Looking forward to that. In the meantime, if you have brewing questions, show suggestions, or just want to say howdy, write to james@basicbrewing.com or just fill out the contact form on basicbrewing.com, and please don't forget to tell us where you're from. Check out our mobile-friendly shop at basicbrewingshop.com. And thanks to everybody supporting us through our Patreon page. Special goodies coming your way. Check that out at patreon.com/basicbrewing. It's all until next time. Until then, thanks for listening, everybody. I'm James Spencer. Production help for Basic Brewing Radio and our website is provided by Kelly Dodson. Basic Brewing Radio is a production of Active Voicing. We'll talk to you next time, everybody. So long.